So this is where so many women are like, wait a minute, why am I doing this? Or why am I in this relationship? Or why am I at this job? And I hate this. And that's where I feel like so much angst comes in for a lot of patients.
Hi there, and welcome to the Mother of Reinvention show. I'm Megan Francis, your host. And in this show, we talk about all the ways women reinvent ourselves as we move toward our 40s and beyond. Whether you're hoping to make a career change, are rediscovering parts of yourself that went dormant during the early years of motherhood, or are trying to pay more attention to your health and wellness, Mother of Reinvention is here to help inspire and inform you as you ask yourself, what's next? At the top of the episode, you heard from today's guest, Dr. Ariana Scholes Douglas. Dr. Scholes Douglas is an integrative healthcare practitioner and an expert in something it doesn't seem like many of us are looking forward to, and that's menopause. The funny thing is, I'm 44, so I know menopause is right around the corner for me, and I'm likely already in perimenopause, which is just that phase that leads you right into menopause. But sometimes I get kind of stuck thinking of myself like I'm still in those early mom days of my 20s and 30s, and I forget that time marches on, and so is my body. I love that Dr. Scholes Douglas is completely reframing this process for women. Her book, The Menopause Myth, What Your Mother, Doctor, and Friends Haven't Told You About Life After 35, is all about helping us embrace this stage confidently and with the information we need to thrive as our bodies and even our brains change along with the hormonal and chemical shifts of menopause. I also love that even the subtitle of her book is a little dose of tough love. Yes, the average woman doesn't actually complete menopause until she's in her early 50s, but the vast majority of us begin the process much earlier than that, and many of us start perimenopause in our mid to late 30s. That might freak you out a little, but it could also be empowering if you're in your 30s and starting to have some weird symptoms that you didn't see coming. Dr. Scholes Douglas really helps to reframe menopause as an opportunity to shift our priorities and figure out what's really important to us. And like she points out, like it or not, it's coming. So we may as well understand it and face it head on. I hope you'll love this inspiring and encouraging and really informative conversation as much as I did. But before we jump in, I want to talk about our sponsor, Vionic. Vionic footwear has become my go-to for when I want to look cute and pulled together, but also stay active and comfortable. All Vionic shoes and boots feature three-zone comfort that offers stability, cushioning, and amazing arch support. I have seriously never worn shoes this comfortable and supportive. Lately, I've really been loving their Adore Active sneaker, which is perfect for everything from a quick mid-afternoon stroll with the dog to a much longer Saturday morning walk. The comfort and support really help me stay active, and it doesn't hurt that the Adore sneaker also looks great to run off to brunch or pick up my kids after my walk or maybe getting out of yoga class. I know new shoes can be an investment, but Vionic makes it so easy to take the plunge with their 30-day wear test. That means you can return for a full refund within 30 days if you aren't satisfied for any reason, even if you've worn your shoes outside. Go to vionicshoes.com and use promo code MORE, that's M-O-R, to get free shipping on your pair of Vionics. Again, that's V-I-O-N-I-C shoes.com and use the promo code MORE, M-O-R, for free shipping. Okay, now let's get into the interview. Hi, Dr. Ariana. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I am really excited about this topic because I know that perimenopause and menopause are something that are very misunderstood. And that's something that I think you is one of your big causes that you're, you know, working on right now with your book and everything else. But before we dive into that conversation, just tell us a little bit about your practice, the work you do with your patients, and your book, The Menopause Myth.
Sure. Yeah, my practice is called Tula Wellness and Aesthetics. And Tula is Sanskrit. Oh, excuse me. In Sanskrit, Tula means balance. And we're located here in Tucson, Arizona. I specialize pretty much in perimenopause and menopausal women, but I see women of all ages and started out really focusing on mostly the medical aspects, dealing with integrative medicine, functional medicine, and just consulting women who were going through this phase. And then it just kind of expanded into all of the things that happen to us as we age. So that's where the aesthetics part came in, because as we have those hormonal changes, we also see changes, you know, in our bodies and our faces. So as women would have certain complaints about whatever, wrinkles, sagging, then we just started to address the whole picture. So that, and then we deal with a lot of sexual health as well, because that's an issue that really started to come up as a common complaint for perimenopausal women. So we deal with a lot of that. And I've been in practice now going on about 8-9 years.
Okay.
And prior to that, I did really spent my whole career doing high risk obstetrics.
I was Okay.
Maternal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did maternal fetal medicine for about 20 years and pretty much just got burnt out and didn't really see a exciting, clear path in front of me. I just wanted to kind of recreate. And I was going through my own experience of my midlife unraveling and kind of just stumbled in many ways into this. And that's kind of where the book came from, The Menopause Myth. As I really started to research my own experience and started to look around and interview friends, I realized that there's people just literally, myself included as a gynecologist, had absolutely no understanding of what was really happening. So that's where the book kind of came from, and it's all kind of come together.
So you, for a long time, your patients were primarily women of childbearing age because you were in high risk obstetrics. And then now you've really moved into people kind of moving out of that phase. I'm curious if when you were treating those patients, if you were starting to see them like on the cusp of that. I'm just thinking in high risk, maybe there was some slightly older moms, or did this grow out of your experiences in that?
No.
No, okay.
Not at all.
Wow.
No, not even close. Had no idea, had I, probably then I would have been prepared for my own experience, but nope, no idea. Had no idea what was going on.
Wow. Okay. And then you went through that yourself, and you mentioned that your life, I think you said your life kind of fell apart a little bit. What do you mean by that?
Well, I, started to have symptoms in my late 30s, and I just was like, oh, I'm having night sweats. Like, I just thought, I don't know, maybe it's hot, or I don't know, just never even entered my consciousness that this was hormonally related.
Right.
And then that just went on. And then I started to have severe PMS. I started to just get really just kind of loopy and, you know, couldn't remember things. And probably the biggest turning point for me was I had done well over 1,000 C-sections in my career. And I remember doing one and just like literally being like, what? Like I was transported to some other place, had no idea what I was doing. And it was very scary. I thought I was getting maybe early Alzheimer's or something.
Wow.
And I really, that took me aback. And so that's when I really started to be like, okay, something's not right here with me. Mm. And I still had no idea what it would be, but that's when it really hit me. But I also was under a lot of stress, and there's a lot of things going on. So it was a combination of things. At the same time, I realized I had, an autoimmune condition called Hashimoto's, which is a condition that affects the thyroid. So between really trying to learn what and how that affected me, and then the perimenopause, the combination of that, stress and everything, it was a cluster.
Wow.
So it took me years to really figure out, put all the pieces together and be like, oh, that was perimenopause. That was, right. Those were hot flashes. And oh, that's where our periods were stopping. And,
right.
Oh, so yeah.
Yeah. In hindsight, it's sometimes a little easier, right? Well, let's start, I guess, by really defining perimenopause versus menopause, because I think even just starting with something that basic, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what each of those things is. Can you kind of enlighten us there?
Sure. So perimenopause is simply the period that leads up to menopause. And honestly, there isn't this huge distinction of either of those. So your perimenopausal symptoms are exactly the same as your menopausal symptoms. In fact, they're It really is a synonymous term when it comes to that. Menopause, by definition, is the cessation of your menstrual cycle for natural reasons. And that cessation that has been for at least 12 months. So what most women experience leading up to that time period is going to be, you know, more erratic menstrual cycles or heavier bleeding or maybe just more sporadic. And then at some point you'll just stop. Well, most people don't know when their last menstrual, you know, you don't have the, you can't see it in the future. So right. You don't know when it's your last menstrual. You never know when it's your last
right.
menstrual cycle. So you, you know, you have one, and then if you have another one like 7 months later, then you start the clock all over again because it has to be, you know, by definition, a year. So, but what can happen is leading up to that, you can have, you know, go maybe 9 months and then you have another menstrual cycle, or you start to have really heavy menstrual cycles, or again, you have worsening in PMS or irritability, insomnia, incontinence, vaginal dryness. You can have all of those symptoms as you are progressing through perimenopause. So that menopause itself, with average age is about 52, that in and of itself is really just kind of it's just the official end of the end. Mm. But it really, where all of the fun is leading up to it, because that's when your body is actually doing all those changes. By the time you stop having your menstrual cycle, you have already gone through really a good portion of the symptoms that you're going to have. And if not, you typically after that last menstrual cycle, you know, again, you're going to have symptoms, and they could be just as worse. They could be worse. They could be better. And some women, again, not to make it sound like it's the worst thing in the world, some women just breeze through and they're like, right. Oh, am I menopausal? Oh, didn't know.
I'm
curious.
Does that
answer it?
Yeah. And I'm curious, and this is just a personal curiosity on my part, but I'm guessing some listeners are in the same boat. I had a hysterectomy at 35, but kept my ovaries. So I'm like, how will I know? I mean, I won't be able to rely on some of those symptoms. Do you have people in your practice like that? And I mean, does it matter if you don't know? Like, but I feel
all
like for me,
time.
I would like to know, you know, just like where I'm at.
Yes. No, that actually, that is probably one of the more challenging things for some women, because they just don't have the same reference point. You know, your cycle is a huge reference point, but in actuality, just the hysterectomy itself can start this cascade, because when you remove the uterus, you also affect the blood supply to the ovaries. Oh, okay. Just because. So even though you left your ovaries in, I would say the majority of patients, even when they leave their ovaries in, they may start to have a few more different symptoms that they didn't have before. Like they may have some more night sweats, they may, or some, or whatever, more irritability, worsening PMS. They may not, but that is not uncommon for them to have some symptoms at the time of surgery. And then it's very typical for one ovary to get be left in and the other ovary not. Mm. And so that is a constant question of, well, when will I know? How do I know this is happening? And so we just go mostly on their symptoms.
Okay.
And if they're, you know, very fortunate and they don't have so many symptoms, then you may not really know so much. But if they're in the crowd, with some of us, then they're gonna know.
Yeah.
But I deal with that. Yeah. About every day. It's a common question.
Well, it kind of leads me to my next question, which is, you know, so say you're starting to notice the signs of perimenopause, or like you said, the signs are exactly the same for perimenopause and menopause. Is there anything you need to do? If it's not like, if it doesn't feel like it's disrupting your life and it feels like everything is normal, is there a new way you need to approach your healthcare that you should be thinking about the way you care for yourself? Or is it kind of like just address the signs as they come up?
Well, I would say, yes, there are some things that you can do. They're not necessarily imperative and going to be life-changing, but I think it's just something to be aware of. And, you know, some of the changes that are happening are around the decline in estrogen. But typically, the bigger symptoms that we see are actually because we start to lose our progesterone levels. They start to fall. So, and most women don't think about their progesterone levels, but every month when you ovulate, you create what's called a corpus luteum in your ovary, and that is responsible for the progesterone. And that progesterone counteracts the estrogen that you made the first half of your cycle. So you typically will have more estrogen in the first half, more progesterone in the second half, and that progesterone is what causes you to actually bleed. So one thing that women should be aware of is, again, how important that progesterone is and how it could affect their sleep, because most women are going to find that they're having difficulty with sleep. They may have some irritability. Those are more symptoms of low progesterone. So some things that they can do are to support that are their supplements like Chase Tree that can really help in that transition period. But where I start with most patients is really going to be their diet, because at the end of the day, food really is your number one drug. It can really have a huge impact on your whole process. And most people don't recognize that. High saturated foods, sugar, sometimes even gluten. You notice that your body might become more sensitive to certain foods that it was not sensitive to before. I hear this all the time. Like, I used to always be able to eat blah, 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 and now I can't have that anymore. So I don't know if it's so much something different that you need to do as much as an awareness of how these hormones indirectly and subtly affect other areas of your life. But no, there isn't any like absolute thing like you should absolutely do this or not do that. I would say, obviously, you know, by 40, I do recommend to my patients that they should have a screening mammogram and looking at just normal health parameters like their lipid profile, their blood count. Vitamin D is a really important aspect of hormonal health. So those are the key topics that I focus on with patients are really their diets and what other supplements that are just going to overall improve their quality of life. I'm just a huge vitamin D fan because it's just instrumental in not only helping us with immunity, but also our hormone balance. So those are the things that I say most women, like, let's check some bases and make sure that you're not deficient. A lot of women are deficient in iron and their ferritin levels go down. And that has to do with just their years and years of menstrual cycles, or sometimes as they're perimenopausal, they have heavier cycles. So iron and vitamin D are probably the two most common supplements that I end up recommending to patients just to help them stay healthy during that process.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the vitamin D. I live in Michigan, and I'm outside a lot in the summer and the early fall. But last year, around like November, I felt like I was tanking. My energy was terrible. I just felt terrible. And I started taking a really good vitamin D supplement. And wow, what do you know? Like 2 weeks later, I felt much, much better. So it was one of the, like, I hear people talk about it all the time. But I guess I just hadn't really taken it to heart for me. And it made a big difference.
Yeah, and a lot of people think that it is like where they live, where it does have to do with kind of where you are in the hemisphere of the whole world or on the planet. But in America, so many of us are vitamin D deficient. I would say at least half of my patients are deficient. And I live in Tucson.
Right.
And we have a lot of sun, but I think it's because it's so warm. And so much sun, we don't go out.
Everyone's hiding
for
from
the same
it, right?
Reason.
Yes.
So we hide from the sun. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a catch-22, but it doesn't really matter where you are. I would say people are commonly deficient.
Wow. You mentioned food as, you know, I know functional medicine is one of the things you mentioned that you provide for your patients and in your practice. And that does relate, as I understand it, to kind of food as medicine, sort of, right? Like, it's this idea that you're using nutrition to, don't want to say heal yourself, but support wellness.
Yeah, both. Yeah. You can use it to heal yourself too. I mean, I literally have patients that I've put on a what we call food elimination diet during their perimenopausal period because they're, you know, falling apart. And that alone, like, they don't need any hormones. That just by changing their food has corrected the problem. So yes, it definitely can maintain and keep you healthy, but there are 100% healing properties in the food.
Wow. And you'll see so often, you know, you'll be on your Facebook or on Instagram and you'll see a friend talking about this or that diet they went on and it was life-changing. And I think it can become really confusing for those of us who aren't nutritionists or in medicine or just don't have the time to really get aware of all this stuff, because people who are into their diet are really, really into that diet. And then it becomes like, right, well, was it that diet that's going to cure everybody or is that just for them? It sounds like when you're talking about those food elimination diets and the nutrition recommendations, it's much more personalized and you're really looking at what affects this particular woman. And maybe for one woman, it's gluten, and then maybe for someone else, it's something different.
It can be, but I would say, I mean, it's the same food elimination diet. I give everybody the exact same thing, with the exception, some people I'm like, definitely keep them off of nightshades because nightshades in general can, depending on if they're presenting with lots of joint pain or they have other autoimmune conditions, then I'm definitely going to take them off of nightshades. But everybody has actually the same diet. It's actually, I mean, you can find them online, but I literally go through the same song and dance off of our website and explain the rationale of removing gluten, corn, dairy, soy, sugar, alcohol. And we take away all of that, just those basic things. So everybody gets the same. And I would say 90% of people are going to feel a difference when they do that, probably closer to 95%. And typically those symptoms are going to change, their digestive symptoms, maybe energy, maybe sometimes even the quality of their sleep. But across the board, when people take these foods out, then they're able to really just kind of clear out their system and see how they impact them. And what I do is have them just introduce that food, each individual food back, and pay attention. So the whole point is just to see, how does my body respond to gluten? How does my body respond to sugar? How do I feel when I don't eat sugar? How do I feel when I eat corn? Because all those foods in the food elimination diet are what we would consider the more inflammatory reactive foods that most people have some sensitivity to, and they don't realize they have it. So for me, I mean, the best, and this is why I feel so like I'm hands down, like almost fanatical about it. I'm coaching patients is I was put on this diet and I understood, okay, I could see why gluten's a problem. I could see why dairy could be a problem and sugar. Okay, I could accept all that. But then she said, and I don't want you to eat any nightshades. And this is when, this was 20 years ago, I was 30, in my late 30s. And she said, no sugar. I mean, no tomatoes. And I was like, what?
Wait, what?
I love tomatoes.
Right.
Tomatoes, that's a fruit or vegetable, whatever you want to call it. It's healthy. Like, why? Like, that was baffling to me. And at that point, I had a tomato garden. I ate tomatoes every day. I was just like, tomatoes, that's like where it's at. And I took the tomatoes out. I felt awesome. And then I decided for me, the first food I was going to put back wasn't going to be gluten or sugar. It was going to be tomatoes because I desperately wanted to eat tomatoes. And the day I put the tomatoes back, I felt fine. But the next morning, I literally felt like a Mack truck had hit me. I could feel every joint in my body. I had a headache. I had fatigue. I could hardly get out of bed. And I was like, wow, like tomatoes. And
that's it ain't so. Yeah.
I know. I was like, no, not the tomatoes. I mean, even to this day, I just, I sometimes I look at tomatoes and I'm like, am I really that reactive?
You're like fondling them in the grocery store and people are walking past you.
Like, I miss you so much. So I can eat a little bit, but now I eat with awareness, right?
Yeah.
I know And I have to ask myself, okay, is that, you know, is it worth it? And most days it's not. Like, I can eat like a little salsa here and there.
Yeah.
I can have, you know, some things, but like, I can't have tomato. Like, I would never eat a tomato salad. I mean, it's awful. I mean, going to Italy and, you know, fresh tomatoes and that fresh mozzarella cheese. And I was just like, oh, killing me. But, yeah. I want to feel good. And that's right. That's why I really like it, because most people, I mean, it really is a separate entity. It in some ways it has nothing to do with perimenopause, but I kind of make it a part of it just because I know how life-changing it could be to people's energy. And it's huge.
Well, it almost feels like the way that, you know, friends of my age will say, I used to be able to eat cheese. I used to be able to drink red wine, like whatever it is. And I can't do that anymore. And probably all along they had some sensitivity, but it feels like these years is like the real reckoning. Like, this is when it's not worth it anymore, because you feel just kind of like when the way you could handle a hangover when you were 20 is very different from the way you can handle it when you're 40 and beyond. So maybe we just are like, our ability or desire to deal with the aftermath goes down because we just don't want to. And it feels it's harder on us.
I think that's definitely a part of it, but I also do believe that your body is actually changing. Like, there are definitely foods that people are like, I could literally eat this and not have a problem. And now they just can't eat them.
Wow.
So
yeah, a little of both. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, I want to dive a little more into the misconceptions, the misinformation that you, even as a gynecologist, had about what's happening during menopause. And then kind of how to demystify this whole process for listeners as they're going through it. So we will be right back. Hey, everyone. I just want to take a second to ask you a big favor. If you're loving the second season of Mother of Reinvention, I would be so honored if you'd leave a rating or review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Those reviews really help new listeners find the show, which is so important for a newer podcast. And it also helps me as I'm planning content and producing the show, so I can make sure it's helping and serving you. Again, just leaving an honest review wherever you get your podcasts helps so much. And I'd be really grateful if you'd take a minute to do that today. Okay, back to the episode. Okay, Dr. Arianna. So we're going to dive into some more about some of the things you have learned while researching the menopause myth, and also just in your practice since you went into this area of specialty. But before we do, I just want to tell people that on your website, the drarianna.com website, you have a fun assessment. And I took the quiz yesterday to kind of just test my menopause IQ. And the question that made me laugh the hardest was something about symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. And one of them, like one of the options, was homicidal thoughts towards your loved ones.
Yes.
I think that probably you get a lot of patients telling you, I just want to strangle someone in my house.
You know, that is really a very personal one for me.
Yeah.
And I write about it in the book, because that actually, I talk about, you know, the brain fog, but really now that I think about it, I forgot as I was talking, the real turning point for me was when I literally was like, I looked at my husband and I was like, I hate him so much. Like, that I literally am like, how can I kill him and get rid of his body? Like, I just was so, And, you know, we had a perfect, I mean, you know, we had our moments, but for the most part, we had a good relationship. And, you know, there are moments when people kind of annoy you. And I was like, okay, he would do those things on occasion, but excuse me. I just remember walking in the house one day and looking at him with disdain. That's the only word that could come to my mouth. And I thought, I kill him? And how could I get away with it? And then I literally started to plot it in my head, like poison him. What could I poison him with? And then I realized, I was like, you know, he didn't actually do anything. Like, I'm thinking, and I was like, and that's when it hit me. I was like, maybe it's me. Yeah. And so that is where that question actually came from. It had nothing to do with clients or patients.
It was
I just
from
personally
your head.
Knew it was me. It was all me. And I was like, and I understand why mothers want to eat their young.
Yeah.
I just got it. I was like, it was my kids. It was my husband. I just literally was hateful.
Yeah.
And irritable. And it was bad.
It was bad.
It was very bad.
Okay. So I know that you cannot be alone, because I've also heard that from lots of friends, that they just kind of want to wring a neck or two. But I would love to, in a little bit, we're going to talk more about, you talked a little bit about supplements, and we kind of touched on hormones and maybe the idea of hormone therapy. Let's get into that in a minute. But before we do, you know, when you're coming out of being this high-risk obstetrician, with not knowing that really what's happening in perimenopause or menopause, this was not on your radar. So you probably dealt with a lot of misconceptions, misinformation, just misunderstanding. What are some of the ones now where you are, like, now that you've made this your specialty, what are the ones that are most frustrating to you? That just the misinformation or misunderstandings out there about menopause?
Well, the first one is for me is going to be that people don't understand the timing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of women that they're like, I'm 45. I shouldn't be going through this right now. Like, it's too early. And I'm like, no, actually, you're right on time. Like, right. This is exactly when it happens. And they're they're just out of sorts with that. So the timing, the other issue is also the really, believe it or not, it's how other doctors have responded. That probably the most frustrating thing that I've seen is other doctors' misunderstanding or ignorance around it. And having several patients, I can't even count, that have gone from doctor to doctor and have been told, oh, you're fine. Or they check their hormones and they say, you're fine. But it's like, well, it has nothing to do with your hormone levels. Like, your hormone levels are going to look normal. But if you are having all these symptoms, you're clearly perimenopausal. Like, you're a poster child. Mm. So for doctors to be so misinformed and just not able to counsel patients is definitely the most frustrating thing. And also almost sometimes a resignation that some patients have that, oh, I'm just going to have incontinence and I'm just going to have pain with intercourse. Some people have just literally given up having intercourse because they just feel like, oh, if it hurts, is this the time? It's just not going to be a part of my life anymore.
Just hang it up. It's time to.
Yeah. It's like, no. And so I would say the biggest one that comes up is definitely when it's supposed to happen and how it's supposed to happen to them and some of those symptoms. So they're not prepared. The incontinence, you know, like I said, the vaginal dryness, the decrease in libido. And that's a hard one for a lot of people, because for a lot of women, if they were childbearing age, I mean, they still have kids in the house. They're working, their body's going through changes. So, you know, they are very confused about why they just have no libido. I'm like, well, first of all, you're exhausted and you don't, you know, like, you haven't really set that self-care time away for yourself. And, so those are some of the, those are probably some of the biggies.
Yeah.
And this misconception that your healthcare provider is going to be able to really help you navigate this. And that is not true on many levels. I mean, if you have a good provider, that's great. But you should be prepared for potentially having a provider that unfortunately is clueless. And I hate to say it, but it's just what I've seen. And it's not just an internal medicine doctor. It can be your own gynecologist that literally is telling you you're not perimenopausal when you very much are. So you have to be educated and you have to go in really understanding this. It's frustrating.
Yeah. And it sounds like not just clueless and misinformed, but sometimes really dismissive of what's going on, which is so infuriating when you're a patient, but also kind of, like you mentioned, can make you sort of resigned to it. Well, there's nothing I can do. This doctor says it's normal.
Yes.
So I guess I'm just old now or whatever, however you feel at that moment. Yeah. Yeah. I can see how that
it happens a lot.
Yeah. Well, Well, let's talk about some of the, you know, you mentioned like, even if you got a hormone screening, even though those progesterone levels, for example, might not be where they need to be, that's not necessarily going to come up on a test. I know that that can also get really confusing. Like, what do you need to have looked at? And what kind of therapies and supplements are out there? And I think for us, like kind of on the outside, there's just this cacophony of stuff that we could do and we don't know where to start. So how do you demystify that big picture for your patients?
Well, it's actually not as complicated as it seems. I can totally see why it seems complicated, but it's really, really not. So I tell people, if you're over 40, then odds are you're perimenopausal, period. Because average age of menopause is 52. And definitely, I mean, in the book, it's like what your mother, doctor, and friends never share with you about life after 35. I started 35 because some women really do start to experience significant perimenopausal problems in their late 30s. That was me. But the average patient is probably going to be around somewhere in their, you know, early to mid 40s is when they're definitely going to start having those symptoms. So you don't even need to look at your blood work. It's really almost inconsequential if you're having night sweats, hot flashes, if you're feeling irritable, if your periods become irregular, then you're perimenopausal. You can look at all the blood work you want. It doesn't matter. But that is what it is. So, but what the natural sequence is going to be is that you start to not ovulate as frequently. So with that lack of ovulation, you're going to have less progesterone. So you're going to have more symptoms that are consistent with low progesterone, which are going to be irritability, maybe some insomnia, definitely the irregular menstrual cycles. So common things that you can do is just, it's a simple supplement called Chase Tree or Vitex. And most patients can tolerate that well. And really starting to look at your diet and supplement with something simple like that. And then as you progress through, you will start to have more symptoms consistent with lower estrogen. So one misconception is that it only has to do with your estrogen levels going down, but it's not just your estrogen. It's your progesterone levels. It's your estrogen levels and your testosterone levels. So as just an average client or consumer of medicine, you don't really need to look at your labs to know that you're going through these changes. And what you can do is really just start to be observant of what's happening. There is no like cookie cutter or one size fits all for patients. But on average, you want to support your hormones with vitamin D. Maybe Chase Tree could be helpful in your situation. I shouldn't say that it's all easy and that you can like just breeze through it without any help. But there are really lots of resources on the internet these days. I know it can seem overwhelming, but if you really kind of just stop and think about what your symptoms are, and really do some due diligence and just start to study and understand how your body is changing, it can be that's super informative in and of itself. And not to just plug the book, but it really is like your primer. It's not complicated. It can be complicated and it can be harder for some people, but the average person, I mean, I had so much feedback just from the book of, oh, I understand it now. It's really not that hard, but we make it complicated. Like, you know, we throw in the whole hormone debate. Everybody doesn't need to be on hormones. It's not as if that is a given or something. I mean, I start with the diet, but I think it's a wonderful time for people to just start paying attention to their bodies it's just time to put on your big girl panties and really take a look.
Well, I love that we circled back around to just that awareness as we wrap up, because I'm just thinking about, you know, we're so able to, for so much time, kind of control aspects of our body. Like we can have an IUD and maybe not have much of a period at all for years. And we can kind of like, we have a lot of, it feels like we have a lot of control over things that have to do with our bodies. And I think that women in our early 40s, and I'm in now, I guess I'm now in my mid 40s. I've just turned 44. So I'm really in the middle, but we like to think that we're so, we like to believe that we're youthful and we're not there yet. And so, you know, I guess in my mind, I was thinking, well, I'm not really going to have to know much about menopause until like Mike 50, you know, so like you just kind of know what you hear, but you don't pay close attention. And I think it's almost like we're afraid to even peek behind the curtain, because then that would be like admitting we're there, which is not helpful, right?
Well, so I would say, to that point of admitting, right? It's really, think of it so differently. I think it's, this is where the conversation needs to change, because it's really, it's a rite of passage. It really can be a beautiful thing, because the one thing, and I didn't mention it earlier, but that I really share with clients a lot is this idea that as your estrogen levels decline, your brain chemistry actually changes. And your brain chemistry, right now, you know, when you're younger and you've got all this estrogen flowing through, I call that, that's our nurturing hormone. That's that hormone that makes us care about what other people think. It's that hormone that makes us want to, you know, hold the little babies and pick up everybody's socks and take care of people. But as that, those levels start to decline, our brain chemistry literally changes. And this is where we would call it this midlife awakening. So this is where so many women are like, wait a minute. Why am I doing this? Or why am I in this relationship? Or why am I at this job? And I hate this. And it really is a time. And that's where I feel like so much angst comes in for a lot of patients. It's not so much all of the hormonal changes, but the mental, spiritual changes that we're going through. And so I had to really start to change how I looked at this and realize that this really was, it can be awakening. It can be an unraveling. It can be all of those things. It is all of those things for you. And you should really try to embrace every aspect of it. But it's not something that you have to run away from or hide from. But the more you're able to face it straight on, look at it, and start to really look at how you're changing, how you are really starting to approach life, and you look at this as an opportunity. And so many women, I spend so much time just dealing with women who are making hard decisions about their lives around right around this time, 45 to 50. And you've seen it. This is when people leave relationships, when they change careers. And it's really like the, I call it that F you time. It's
right.
Like, yep, I'm not doing this.
I can
anymore.
No longer, I have no F's to give anymore. Right. So yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's real. It's real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a really, I like that positive way of looking at this, because it is, it's like, there's going to be some bumps in the road, just like when early, just like, I think you kind of compare it to puberty, like you're going through this change and there's all these weird things that are happening. But then on the other side of it, there's this freedom. You've moved into a new phase and there's freedom and excitement and opportunity in that. And I love that reframing of menopause and perimenopause.
Yes.
It gets you there. Yeah,
we have to reframe it, because otherwise we're afraid of it. We don't want it. And we're resisting it. And if, first of all, it's going to happen. You can resist it all you want, but it's happening. So you might as well embrace it and figure out how to. It's like your superpower. It really is a superpower. You got to just it, and I'm not trying to just fancy up the name. It really can be a very empowering time. And that's how I broke the book up into the physical aspects that you need to understand, the food that really contributes to it, and then that mental and spiritual aspect of really what's happening and how you can really grow into your best self during this time, because this is it.
Yeah. Well, the book is The Menopause Myth, What Your Mother, Doctor, and Friends Haven't Told You About Life After 35. So even if you're like 34 listening to this, just go ahead and get it. You're going to need it soon. And that book is available basically everywhere books are sold, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Amazon, website.
Yeah. Yep. You can also go to drariana.com. That's Ariana with two N's. You've got some great resources there as well, if you're just kind of digging in and starting to, I don't know, just starting to get a little bit informed about all these things going on, including that assessment that I had a lot of fun taking. So I hope everyone will check that out. And thank you so much, Dr. Arianna. This has been a really great conversation.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Well, thanks everyone for listening to this episode of Mother of Reinvention. Like always, everything from today's episode will be in the show notes at motherofreinventionshow.com. Again, don't forget to check out our sponsor, Vionic. And remember that you can get free shipping by going to vionic.com and using the code MORE, that's M-O-R, at checkout. And if you want to get in touch, you can always send me an email at motherofreinventionshow@gmail.com. Okay, friends, thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back with another great episode next Thursday. Talk to you soon.